Welcome everybody, and as we are going through 1 John scripture by scripture, we are on chapter 3, and last week we studied on up to verse 4. We saw very clearly what is lawlessness was. Breaking the law of God, and how we saw that the moral law of God still continues, and we saw how Jesus in the book of Matthew, how he exposed the moral law of God, and the moral law has to do with our heart. Before we do the action, God sees the heart, and with that, how we have broken the moral law of God. And by seeing that, we know that we are sinners. So the lawlessness is, sin is lawlessness. So we are today coming to verse 5, when it says here, "And you know that he was manifested to take our sins, and in him there is no sin." What I want to do is I want to kind of lay a foundation here. This is going to be more like a two-part series, and see from a different perspective the redemption. And here it says that Jesus was manifested. He was manifested. What do you mean by manifested? That he was brought into the world, so that people can see him. He was manifested so people can see him. Okay? Now, he was manifested to take our sins. Now remember, there's a deep, deep problem here. There's a big problem. The problem is sin. When I say the problem is sin, God is infinitely holy. Man is unholy. And if you are dwelling, if you are living in your sins, you will not go to heaven. That's what it basically says, the Bible. There are two roads. One is to heaven, the other one is to hell. And I remember when we went witnessing one day, one of the questions we asked, I forgot his name, we asked him, "You think that when you die, you will go to heaven?" And he said, "Well, I hope so." Then I told him, it's not like, "Are you hungry? Are you going to a restaurant?" "Probably I will. I may so." It's not like that. And heaven is for eternity and hell is for eternity. And you have to make sure where you're going. He's not saying, "I hope so." This is a major decision. If I ask you, "Are you going to work tomorrow?" You cannot say, "I hope so." It's a major decision. Either you are going or you're not. And that's what we are talking here. Sin is a deep problem. It's a problem that if you have violated the law, God's sin, the punishment is, well, hell. Because God is not going to tolerate us in our sin. Why? Because God is infinitely holy. When God is infinitely holy, a holy God will not compromise with sin. If God is not holy, it's okay. But God is holy. That's why the cults and none other religions, their gods are not infinitely holy. So they don't even believe in hell. But our God is a holy God. So here, he was manifested. So Jesus came to take our sins away. That's the blessed hope we have. That's the greatest hope and the greatest promise that we have. That he can give us hope. That he can take away our sins. So God has paved the way so that we can go to heaven. Now, the question is, when Adam and Eve sinned, was it Was God surprised that he has to make some changes now? Was God surprised now? Adam and Eve sinned, now I got to change my plans. I never thought this is going to happen. What am I going to do? God had to think very deep. I'll tell you, beloved, we are living in the days of false preachers who have, they are showing God, they have brought God down to the level of man. And when you bring God down to the level of man, your God is like a man. That's why people say, oh, God loves me. That's why people say, God understands me. Because they have brought down God to their own level. And they are deceiving people. And most of these people are asking for money and they are getting rich. Their wallet is getting fat. But Malachi says, I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 1:3-6. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12, from verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure? Anybody can measure this room? Yes, we can. Anybody can measure Norwalk? Yes, we can. Can you measure the land of United States? Yes, we can. Anybody can measure the heavens? That's who God is. See? God is not like a man. God is God. And he has calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. You can calculate numbers only. But you cannot calculate infiniteness. Because dust is infinite for us. But for God, it's finite. He can number them. He has weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in balance. You can weigh 500 pounds, 20 pounds, I mean, whatever, 8,500 pounds you can weigh. But you cannot weigh hills. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Everybody in this room, you are taught. You went to school. You are taught knowledge. God, he didn't have counselors. He didn't have teachers. He is God. He is the eternal God. That is God. You cannot bring God to our own level. He is God. He is the infinitely holy God. All our hairs are numbered. Even a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his knowledge. Now, when it comes to redemption, Jesus being manifested and he came down to heaven to take our sins away. When it comes even to redemption, for some people it is a great confusion. It's a great confusion. And there are so many false teachings that has been brought to the church. And there's so much apostasy, division, because men see redemption from a logical perspective. They see redemption from human perspective, not from the perspective of God. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 43, I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures today, so it's got to be either quick or write it down. 1 Corinthians 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all churches of the saints. So God is not the author here when it comes to redemption. And here we see his revealed will. The only way that I can preach is by the revealed will of God. And you find it in the Bible, his revealed will. And also, there is a secret will of God that are sometimes we don't understand. Secret will of God is sometimes, especially when it comes to why did God creates Satan, you know? Why did it happen in the Garden of Eden, and why? And the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God. Those are things we cannot answer logically, because these are secret things. This is a secret will of God, and we don't understand there are some things in the Word of God. And that's why we can only understand when we go to heaven a lot of things. Then we'll be like Him. So, now, Christ came to redeem us from our sin. He came to redeem us from our sin. And what is sin? Sin is what? Breaking the law. We were under the curse of the law. Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law. Now, when you talk about redemption, the words cannot express the depth of redemption. There are volumes of books that have been written on redemption. And you can see, if you see a diamond, it has different facets. And here you can see only from one place. So today, when I talk about redemption, I'm going to show you the redemption from a the design of redemption. God's design of redemption. This is something that we have not heard really, but I'm going to show you the design of His redemption. And that also I cannot fully explain because it is so vast. Because God's word is so vast, it's so big. And a lot of us, when we think about redemption, we understand in a very limited sense. We believe redemption is Christ's birth, then He carried through His work until death, and then we see it ended up in resurrection, and that is redemption. Christ's birth and work on the cross, then His death, that is redemption. That's in a very limited sense. But if you look at it in a very large scale, look at it in a large scale, broader perspective, bigger picture, we will see the design of redemption is, it was designed in heaven. We will see the preparations of redemption throughout the Old Testament, preparations of redemption. People had to shed blood, the animals had to be sacrificed. And we will see the application of redemption through Christ Jesus. Then we will see the success of that redemption. So you can kind of divide into the design of redemption, the preparation of this redemption, and the application and the success of redemption. Now, what is the design and the preparation of redemption? Throughout eternity, eternity past, there was an eternal covenant in the Godhead. There was an eternal covenant in the Godhead. And if you turn with me to Psalm chapter 89, verse 2, before heavens or earth or anything was created, Psalm 89 verse 2. I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. And here God established His faithfulness in heaven. It was eternity past that mercy was built up. Mercy is we deserve judgment, but God established mercy for us. Where? In heaven. Then it says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. It's not talking to David, the physical David. It's talking to the son of David, or to Jesus Christ, who came from David's seed, because